WMFO, Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there are no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Good morning, it's the 27th of February, 2019. This morning, I'm going to return to the original format the grand hour started with, how I laid it out there a couple of semesters ago. You'll notice an old familiar voice.
The shadow knows.
Yes, the shadow knows. So I'm going to start off. This is a summer program. It's episode 21, The Blind Beggar Dies. I don't know what its original air date is. I'm getting conflicting reports. Perhaps it's June of 1938, or I even saw something that says April 17th, but that wouldn't have been the summer. It stars Orson Welles as the Shadow and Lamont Cranston, as well as Margot Stevenson as Margot Lane. There's no Agnes Moorehead in this one. Again, it was the summer season, so I'll go ahead and play The Blind Beggar Dies. Thanks for listening. This is Arthur with the Grand Hour.
The Shadow, Lamont Cranston, a man of wealth, a student of science, and a master of other people's minds, devotes his life to righting wrongs, protecting the innocent, and punishing the guilty. Using advanced methods that may ultimately become available to all law enforcement agencies, Cranston is known to the underworld as the Shadow. Never seen, only heard. As haunting to superstitious minds as a ghost. As inevitable as a guilty conscience. The identity of the Shadow is known only to his intimate friend and aide, Margot Lane. Today's story, The Blind Beggar Dies.
There are smiles that make us happy. There are smiles...
Evening, Singing Jim. Oh. Chilly tonight, isn't it?
Indeed it is. Thank you, sir. There are smiles...
Hello, Jim. Wish me luck tonight. I'm going out with a new boyfriend. He's awful nice.
All the luck in the world, you miss. Thank you. There are smiles which make us happy.
Well, if it isn't Singing Jim holding down the same corner after we told him to pay protection or move.
Yeah, he don't pay off and he don't scare.
I don't make enough to keep body and soul together. Now you go away. Let me alone.
Well, so you're going to try to buck our record, eh? All right, buddy, bring him back in the alley.
Oh, now, wait.
Then we make him see things out.
Now, take your hands off me. You let me alone.
Come on,
let
me alone. We just want to talk to you a minute. We got a proposition for you.
But now I told you, I don't need protection. I have a license because I'm blind. The police don't bother me, hon.
Bring him back over here, Marty.
Oh, no.
Private enough.
Now,
okay, Spike.
Now, wait.
Easy on that blackjack. Shut up and hold your mitt over his mouth so we don't let
now,
him...
Now, don't.
Before. Okay.
I'm an old man. I can't stand it. I haven't any money to pay you. I tell you,
All right, give me once over.
Right. Mm. Now, listen, Singing Jim. Next time you fork over a buck a week or you'll get the worst. Okay. Marty, dump him over the wall there and let's go.
Gathering them, huh?
Yes.
Isn't it amazing how any little thing can get a crowd together?
Sometimes those little things turn out to be big things, Margo.
That's just Lamont Cranston, the amateur criminologist, coming to the fore.
Oh, look. We're trying to get into that alleyway. Somebody hurt, probably.
Oh, yes.
All right, move on, move on, open up.
Oh, good evening to you, Mr. Cranston.
Oh, what's wrong, Clancy?
Poor old Singing Jim. Somebody found him in the alley all smashed up. Looks like a truck ran over him.
All right, out of the way. Move on now. Move on.
Poor old Jim. Lamont, look at his face and head. He doesn't look like he's been run over.
Oh, don't hit me. I can't pay. I can't.
Okay, Jack, back to the hospital and make it fast.
Oh.
This old boy's in a bad way.
Lamont, somebody beat him up. But who'd do a thing like that and why?
I don't know, Margot. I've known Singing Jim for years.
So have I. Everybody knows him and helped him out.
Margot, he looked pretty bad. I'll go to the hospital and see what I can do for him. Well, this one meets the eye. Want to come along?
Yes, Lamont. I hope we're not too late.
Of course you can see Singing Jim, Mr. Cranston.
How is he, Doctor?
Triple concussion. Looks pretty hopeless.
Poor old Jim.
How did it happen?
Well, the police report lists it as a hit-and-run case. In my opinion, he was beaten with some blunt instrument. It's a pipe or a blackjack.
Hmm.
He's right in here.
No, no. Don't hit me. I'm an old man. No.
I'm afraid you won't get much out of him, but you can try. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Thanks, Doctor.
Oh, I can't pay. I need protection.
Not Singing Jim.
I don't...
Jim, it's Lamont Cranston. I've come to help you. And Miss Lane is here, too. You remember her.
Hello, Jim. What happened? Who did this?
Oh, keep away from me. Let me go. Don't hit me again.
I'm afraid he's delirious, Margot. Jim, listen. We're not going to hurt you. You're safe now. Who hit you? Why did they do it, Jim?
They told me I had to pay $1 a week. Oh, they'd give my corner to somebody else. Some phony that knew how to mooch enough to pay him for protection. No.
Jim.
Don't hit me.
Lamont, that can't be true. Nobody could be as low as to try to make a racket out of begging, organize them, and make them pay tribute.
It's hard to believe, Margot, but must be something to it. Wait a minute. Jim, listen to me. Who did this? Who's been trying to make you pay money to them?
Oh, no, don't hit me, Spike. Let go of me, Mark. Don't, I can't pay. Apple Mary can't pay either. You took Apple Mary's stand. Now you're trying to take mine. Don't hit me again. Don't!
Margo, I'd better get the doctor. He's unconscious.
Yes, Margo, but I'm afraid it's more than that.
What?
Afraid Singing Jim has sung his last ballad.
You mean...
Yes, Margo. Singing Jim is dead.
Folks, I guess you're all kind of wondering why the word went out over the beggar's grapevine for us to meet here in my place.
Yes, you were, weren't you?
And maybe you ain't. Anyway, Apple Mary's got something to say to us.
Thanks, Lame Bill. Thanks. Folks, I guess by this time you've all heard that poor old Singing Jim's dead.
Yeah,
and I guess you know why he's dead.
Yes, thank you.
Now, don't get the idea that I've asked you all here to fight these here scurvy rats that pull Jim into an alley and beat him to death. I ain't asking that.
Can't expect no help from the police, Mary. You know that.
No, you can't, Mary.
Yes, we tried that. And they just laugh at the idea of anybody trying to make us pay for the right to make a living on the streets. The only way we know how. Selling apples like I do. Singing like Jim did. Or selling pencils and shoelaces like Lame Bill here. No, we can't expect no help from the police.
Yeah, but why don't they get the guys that murdered old Jim?
They're investigating it, so they say.
Yeah, but what are we going to do, Mary? Jim's death was just a warning to the rest of us. It means pay up or get the same...
No, it don't.
Yeah, that's
no,
what
it don't.
Mary.
Because something's happened. Somebody's going to help us what can't help ourselves.
Well, who is it, Mary?
Now, before I tell you, I want to remind you that I'm not a drinking woman, and I ain't given to hearing things, and I ain't easy convinced. But last night, late, Somebody talk to me at my stand. Somebody that you've all heard of. Somebody that you that have got your eyesight don't believe in because nobody's ever seen.
Who was it, Mary?
The Shadow.
Shadow?
Oh, he wouldn't bother trying to help folks like us, Mary.
Oh, you're wrong. You're wrong because he asked me to call all your folks together. He promised that he'd come here tonight and tell us how he can help us.
When's he coming? Why isn't he here?
Hey, what's that?
Huh? I am here.
Why? Where'd that laugh come from?
Sounds like it come from right behind Mary.
No, it came from back in that corner.
Wait, don't be frightened. I am the Shadow. I've come here to help you. If you will accept my unseen presence without question, without fear.
Yeah, that's right. We got no reason to be scared of the Shadow. We ain't done anything wrong.
Yeah, we ought to be glad he's willing to help us out. Protect us from fellas like Spike and Marty.
Maybe he can help us find out who those fellas are.
Now, wait a minute, all of you. I've told the Shadow all I know about Spike and Marty. All any of us knows. Now you listen to what he wants us to do.
You are victims of the meanest racket in the world. The Shadow will help you. If you are willing to help yourselves. I have reason to believe that one among you is a spy. An informer.
Why, where is he? Point him out.
No, sooner or later he will betray himself. There are too many of you for me to single out the one hostile mind in this room.
What do you want us to do, Shadow?
We'll do anything you say.
Go on doing as you have been doing. When these men approach you again, pay them, or promise payment. And then go to the west wall of the National Armory. Make your sign of distress in white chalk, using the symbols you use in communicating with one another. The Shadow will understand them and come to your aid. As for the informer in your midst, let him take this warning to the petty racketeers he serves. If one more cent of tribute is levied, if they so much as lay a hand upon one of you, they will answer to the Shadow with their lives.
Yeah, who's there? That you, Marty?
Yeah, it's me, Spike.
What took you so long? Yeah, you look like the real McCoy with those smoke glasses and that crutch.
I used to make a living faking this blind and lame gag before you showed me how to make some easy money.
Well, what happened at that meeting at Lame Bill's place?
Plenty.
You look like you've seen a ghost.
No, I ain't seen no ghost, Spike.
What then?
I heard something tonight that I don't want to hear again. The voice of a guy you couldn't see. He was right there talking to us.
You've been hearing things.
No, it's the truth, I tell you. You've heard about this guy they call a Shadow, haven't you?
Yeah, I've heard about him all right. So what?
He was at that meeting. That's why Apple Mary called it. The Shadow got the whole story out of her. How he worked this racket, and now he's out to get us.
How's he gonna do it?
Got it all fixed for the beggars to put their distress signs on the wall of the National Armory. The first time we try to collect any more dough.
You say the Shadow got all the dough from Apple Mary?
Yeah, I tell you, we gotta lay off.
And kiss all that money we get from the beggars goodbye? That on your life.
Yeah, but Spike, the Shadow's poison. He's caught plenty of big shots with dough and their gangs. What chance have we got against a guy like that?
Listen, punk, you're all the gang I got, and I ain't the big dough, but I'm plenty smart. And I got an idea how to get rid of this Shadow.
All right. How you gonna do it?
Listen, all we gotta do is get a hold of Apple Mary. Bring her up here to the hideout and keep her here.
Yeah, and get the Shadow plumb on our trail.
That's just what I want. And to be sure he does get here, you're gonna chalk up a message on the armory wall. You know the signs they use.
Yeah, I know them. But supposing you do get Apple Mary here and this Shadow comes after it, then what?
Then he's gonna walk into the sweetest little trap you ever saw sprung.
But you can't see the guy.
I don't have to see him. All I have to do is hear him talk or laugh, the way they say he always does.
All right, Spike. Okay, I hope you know what you're doing.
I haven't given you a bad stay yet, have I? We'll grab Apple Mary tonight and bring her down here.
Why did you want to drive past the National Armory, Lamont?
I'm looking for handwriting on the wall, Margot.
What do you mean?
The Shadow made arrangements with Apple Mary and her friends to communicate with them. That way, those racketeers try any more strong-arm tactics.
You think they will?
Yes. There's a reckless bravado about a petty criminal that you won't find in big-time crooks.
Well, they're just as dangerous. Don't forget that, Lamont.
I'm not forgetting it for a minute, Margot. There's a saying, little snakes are more deadly than the big ones. Stop the car, Margaret. Here's the armory.
What is it, Lamont?
There's writing on the wall. Maybe what I'm looking for.
You mean those chalk marks, those crosses and circles and numbers?
Yes. Yes, it's a message from Apple Mary. She needs help. She's waiting for the shadow in the basement of 19 River Street.
I'll drive you there, Lamont.
All right, Margot. Not all the way. Stop a block from that address and let me out.
Very well, Lamont. Shall I wait for you?
Yes, Margot. Wait half an hour. If I'm not back by then, notify the police to raid that house.
But why, Lamont? What makes you think...
I don't think Apple Mary sent that message, Margot. I have a feeling the shadow's being invited to walk into a trap. That you, Marty?
Yeah, it's me. Where are you? How about some light?
Okay, I just wanted to be sure.
Hey, what's the idea? We're sitting down here in the dark. Hey, what are you doing with that Tommy gun?
When the shadow comes here looking for Apple Mary, I'm going to spray this room with lead from floor to ceiling. It won't matter if I can't see him. I can't miss. And our troubles will be over.
I put that message in the armory wall.
How long ago?
About an hour.
And he'll be here soon. That guy moves fast from what I hear.
Hey, how are you going to know when the shadow gets here? What if he don't talk or laugh?
He's got to open that door, ain't he? He can't walk through it. He ain't a ghost.
He comes as close to being a ghost as anything I ever went on up against. How's he do it? How's he keep you from seeing him?
By hypnotism, whatever that is.
Yeah? I know a guy in a circus that could do that. Leastwise, he claimed he could.
Shut up. Go and get Apple Mary in here. She's in the back room.
Okay. Hey, you. Apple Mary. Come on out here.
I'm coming. I don't think I'm scared of the scum of the earth like you two.
Pipe down.
What do you want with me?
Bring him over here and shove him into this chair.
You hide him. Come on.
Take your hands off me. Maybe old and blind, but I take no guidance from scavengers.
Take that can away from her. She might get free with it.
Give me that stick.
I'll give it to you. Here, take
it. Why, you cheap devil.
Put her in that chair and hold her there. Get your knife.
Come on, sit down there. Yeah, I got my knife.
Get it out. She tries in vain when the shadow turns up. Let her have it. Right between her shoulders.
Okay. If you know what's good for you, you'll sit still, Mary.
The shadow. So you know he's after you. So there was a squealer at the meeting.
No, that was no squealer. It was me. And we're expecting your pal, the shadow, most any time now. I put a little message from you on the armory wall, telling him to come here.
Yeah. Just wait till that door swings open. That's the only way you can get in or out.
If this shadow guy's got a gun, starts blazing away, you'll get yours, Mary.
The shadow doesn't need a gun.
Shut him up, Marty. I just heard the basement door close.
Hey, somebody's in the hall, Spike.
Shut up. Watch it, old dame. She opens her mouth, but I have it.
Right. Got that Tommy gun ready?
Yeah.
Spike, he's here. The shadow's here. Do something. Do something. Shoot him. Kill him.
I ain't sure if I'm going to be sure.
There is only one certainty in life.
What?
That is death.
Be careful. Don't Spike. Spike, you shot out the light.
Yeah. But I got him.
Yeah.
I got the shadow. Come on. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, but what about Apple Mary?
We haven't got time to fuss with a blind dame. Now listen, Apple Mary. Get out and tell your friends we'll be seeing him. Tell him the shadow's dead. Tell him if we have any more trouble making collections, I'll get what Singing Jim and the shadow got. Tell him that for us. Come on, Marty, let's go.
Shadow dead. Who can we look to for help now?
You can still count on the shadow, Apple Mary.
Oh, shadow, they didn't kill you. Didn't they hit you?
No, Mary. I suspected a trap, so after I opened the door, I walked across the room and stood behind them.
But your voice, it came from near the door.
Ventriloquism. A simple trick of projecting the voice. That doesn't matter now. Get out of here and hurry to Lame Bill's. Gather your friends together and wait there for word from me. The Shadow.
Margot.
Oh, there you are, Lamont. I was beginning to get worried. Half hour's almost up. What happened?
I'll tell you later. Quick, start the car. Those two men hurrying down the street?
That tall one and the short, heavy one?
Yes, follow them, but be careful. Don't get too close.
Who are they? Where are they going?
They murdered Singing Jim. They tried to murder the shadow. We'll find out where they go, Margot, and then I'll telephone Commissioner Weston to surround the place.
The shadow left word with
with Apple Mary. She wants us to duke and fool all.
Duke and fool all. The Shadow's tracked down Spike and Marty.
Apple Mary and Lame Bill want us to duke and fool all. Hey, Limpy, duke and fool all right away. Mary said so.
What's the matter with you, Marty? Hey, don't you can play pool. You missed that shot a mile.
I can't keep my mind on the game. Can't stop thinking about
it. Hightown. Everything's okay, I tell you. I got the shadow I couldn't have missed. You heard him fall, didn't you?
Yeah, but
nothing. We got nothing to worry about, I tell you. The shadow's out of the way, and we got it fixed with Dugan for an alibi. We've been here all even. See? Here comes Dugan now.
Hey, Spike, Marty. There's something going on around here I don't like. I know I told you I'd frame an alibi for you, but I don't want no trouble. I don't want my place closed up.
Mm-hmm. What's the matter with you? What's going on?
It's that bunch you've been working your new racket on. Apple Mary, Lame Bill, Limpy, the whole lot of them.
What? Where are they?
They're out in the street, 20 or 30 of them. And more coming every minute.
Yeah, who tipped them up when we was here? Is this a double cross,
no,
Dugan?
No, honest. Somebody must have tailed you here. Listen to him. Hey, Spike, they're after us. Come on, let's get out of here.
Yeah, maybe we better. They tear us to pieces, then they got their hands on it.
You guys better slip out that back door there. It leads into the alley. The crowd may be lame and blind, but I don't give much for your chances if they get hold of you.
Come on, Spike, let's go, will you?
Yeah, okay, let's scram. We'll get these monkeys tomorrow, one by one. I'll teach them to try to gang up on us. Come on, Marty, come on.
First, Spike, wait. Look down the alley there.
Holy cat. Cops?
Yeah.
Half a dozen of them.
We can't go that way, Spike. They're laying for us. Hey, Dugan, ain't there any other way out of this joint?
How about upstairs and over the roof?
No, that door to the hall has been nailed up for years. It's either the alley or the front way.
Hey, Spike, that bunch out front sound like they're coming in.
Yeah, we're caught like a couple of rats in a trap.
What are you going to do, Spike?
Shadow.
Spike, did you hear that? It's a shadow. You didn't get him.
He ain't dead.
No. No, you will not go to the electric chair for the murder of the Shadow.
Well, so you got away. Well, and the cops haven't got anything on us now. Come on, Marty, we'll go out to the alley. Let the cops pick us up. They can't hold us more than 24 hours.
Wait. You've forgotten the murder of Singing Jim.
Well, you can't pin that on us. But the door's locked.
Yeah, and the key's gone, Spike.
Yeah. I locked that door, Spike. I have the key. But the front door is unlocked. You can walk out that door. Singing Jim's friends are out there waiting for you.
Spike, what are we going to do?
They're the lame and the halt and the blind, but there's strength in their numbers. The strength of a long-suffering fury that means your death. If they get their hands on you...
What do you want, Shadow? What's your game?
I want your confession to the murder of Singing Jim.
Hey. Yeah? If we confess, will you keep that mob away from us?
I'm not confessing to anything. I'm not writing myself a one-way ticket to the death house.
Take your choice. A chance before a legal jury or that mob. Quick.
Stop him! Stop him, Shadow! I'll confess. I'll tell you. Yeah, we killed Singing Jim. It was Spike. He slugged him in an alley, yeah.
You dirty squealer, rat.
Don't move, Spike. One false move.
Wait a minute, they're
going to... These tormented people will kill you. Mary! Lame Bill! Wait, everybody! This is your last chance. There's a blackboard behind you, Spike. There's a piece of chalk. Write your confession to the murder of Singing Jim and sign it. Write what I dictate to you.
You win, Shadow.
We, Spike Grogan and Marty Nelson...
We, Spike Grogan.
Confess...
Marty Nelson.
...that on Tuesday night at 5 o'clock...
Confess that on Tuesday
we
night...
We did willfully beat Singing Jim
we
to death...
Willfully beat...
With a blackjack.
Singing Jim to death. With a blackjack.
Sign it. Now you, Marty.
Okay.
Now what, Shadow?
Walk to that back door. Open it. Call to the police in the alley. Tell them to come and get you.
But it's locked. You locked it and took the key.
I unlocked it again. Go with Spike Grogan, Marty. Beyond that door, a blindfolded woman with a sword in one hand and finely balanced scales in the other waits for you. You've mocked her long enough, but she is patient because her name is Justice. And her revenge for your mockery will be death.
The story you have just heard is copyrighted by the Shadow Magazine. Real names are never used in these Shadow stories.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The Shadow knows.
Lads. Okay, that was The Blind Beggar Dies. It's a summer program from The Shadow. Again, it has found variable original air dates. Well, I believe it was in June of 1938. Starring Orson Welles as Lamont Cranston and The Shadow, and Margot Stevenson as Margot Blaine. I think we're going to take a moment here to fulfill one of our FCC obligations. You're listening to Arthur. This is the Grand Hour on 91.5 FM WMFO and or WMFO.org.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0. All guns are always loaded. Rule 1. Never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2. Keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3. Be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
WMFO, Medford. Okay. Next up is a familiar voice. So some people, some listeners, if I still have them, because I haven't played this in a long time. This is episode 27, Duel at Lockwood, with an original air date of the 21st of March, 1954.
In a moment, you'll hear James Stewart as the Six Shooter, just one of the many fine programs brought to you Sundays on NBC. Later this evening, listen to the NBC Star Playhouse with one of your favorite stars. Hear Meet the Press, America's number one newsmaking program. And be sure to keep tuned for the dramatic story of communism in America on Last Man Out. A wonderful lineup of great programs, all of them heard only on NBC. James Stewart as the Six Shooter. The man man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl. Its handle unmarked. People call them both the Six Shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as the Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western Territories, leaving behind a trail of still-remembered legends. Now, in just a moment, you'll hear Act One of The Six Shooter. But first, I want to be sure that all of you know that beginning next week, we change our day and time of broadcast. Instead of Sundays, we'll be on the air Thursday evenings. In other words, our next Six Shooter program will be broadcast Thursday, April 1st, and every Thursday thereafter. For time of broadcast, please consult the listing in your local newspaper. We hope you like our new Thursday evening time. Now, Act One of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart.
Wes? Wes!
What are you hollering about, Jim Cassidy?
I'm looking for Wes, Miss Singer. You know where I can find him?
Lockwood, maybe.
No, ma'am. He ain't in town this morning. I just come from there.
The jail in Lockwood. That's where he might be.
Now, Miss Singer, Wes ain't in jail no more. That's all over now.
All over?
Sure. And nobody's apt to try arresting him again, either.
They'll arrest him again, Jim, someday. Don't make no mistake about that. They'll arrest him or they'll kill him.
We all gotta go sooner or later, Granny.
Oh, Wes,
but if I was as close to my time as you are to yours, I wouldn't be talking about killing and dying so much.
Your time's closer than you think, Wes. Maybe even closer than mine.
Doggone it, Wes. She told me you wasn't even to home.
Ah, Granny's getting cantankerous in her old age, that's all. Well, what do you want?
Nothing special. I just thought maybe you'd like to know Britt Ponsett's in Lockwood.
Ponsett?
Yeah. He's staying at the hotel.
Well, why didn't you say so before?
Well, what's the difference? You wasn't serious the other day. Why, Wes, you couldn't have been. He's the Six Shooter.
You'll find out whether I was serious or not. I'll be in Lockwood at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Maybe Ponsett will be gone.
He won't leave. Not if he hears I'm coming in to pay him a visit.
You mean you want folks to know what you're aiming to do?
Sure, why not?
Well, Sheriff Hittleman ain't gonna like the idea. Well, he made that plain enough last week.
You think I'd let Ben Hittleman get in my way? Well, I grant you it wouldn't mean much, killing an old geezer who should have been put out to pasture 10 years ago.
Wes, you...
But if he asks for it, I reckon I'll have to oblige him. Now, go on, spread the word. We ought to draw a good-sized crowd, the Six Shooter and me.
Well, as soon as we'd finished fencing in the last couple of thousand acres on the Tip Top Ranch, old man Jeffer sent me into Lockwood to get some signs printed up. He wanted everybody to know that he owned the biggest spread in this part of the state, and he figured posting these signs every quarter of a mile or so would do the trick. Of course, the wording had to be just right. He wrote it all down so I wouldn't forget it. Tip Top Ranch, property of Rex Jeffers. Keep out. This means you. Trespassers will be shot at sight. If you ain't able to read this notice, keep out anyway. Rex Jeffers means what he says. Signed, Rex Jeffers. It's Thursday night when I got into town and the office of the Lockwood Clarion was closed. But first thing Friday morning, I headed over to give Pete Drum the order. Pete was the owner of the Clarion.
What in thunder's Rex thinking of, Britt? Folks all know the tip-top starts in where it leaves off. Besides, I thought he had a fence around it now.
He has, but I guess maybe Rex feels that ain't enough.
Oh, 2,000 posters, just so he can see his name in print. All right, I'll do them. But it'll cost him $15, that's my price.
$15?
Can't be done for a cent less. Paper's expensive, Britt.
Well, how soon do you figure you can get at it, Pete?
Oh, I don't know. I got me a few more of these auction handbills and all. Okay, then I suppose I can shift over to your order. Yeah, it's a good thing you're coming to town today.
Oh?
Monday I start getting ready for next week's paper. That ties me up clear into Thursday morning. And the way things have been happening around here lately...
Well, what do you mean, Pete?
Now, don't tell me that you ain't heard.
No, can't say I have.
Well, sir, Lockwood's got a brand new gunfighter.
Oh, gunfighter?
Just a kid, but he's faster than grease lightning. The first thing you know, Wes Singer will be just about as well known as Sam Bass or Bill Longley or any of the rest of them dead eyes.
Wes Singer?
Uh-huh. Two killings in less than a month. That's what has got to his credit so far.
Mm-hmm.
Wyatt Barker. He was the first. Wyatt and Wes got into some kind of a mix-up over to Charlie Jensen's place. Well, sir, Wes beat him to the draw and pumped four shots into Wyatt's body before it even hit the floor.
You don't say.
And afterwards, he just stood around there and he waited for Sheriff Hittleman to take him in for questioning. Why, he acted like he didn't have a worry in the world. And as things worked out, he was right. There wasn't nothing the sheriff could charge him with, seeing as how Wyatt was already drawing his gun when Wes cut loose.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, guess that's enough of them handbills now. Yeah. Now, what happened to that paper you gave me, Fred?
Oh, that?
Well, you know the wording on it for your posters?
Oh, here it is. Right here.
Yeah, thank you. Let's see. I suppose Rex Jeffers wants his name in the biggest type I've got.
Yeah. Yeah, I reckon he'd like to have it stand out good and plain.
Oh, yes, he would. Well, I guess this'll have to do. It was big enough for Lincoln's assassination. It ought to be big enough for Rex. Anyhow, like I was saying, folks just didn't know what to make of Wes Singer and the way he'd killed Wyatt Barker. They wasn't sure whether it was one of those times when a young fella just sort of flies off the handle and then settles down again afterwards. Or if Wes would take up gunslinging for a whole career. And about 10 days later, they found out.
Uh-huh.
It was on a Wednesday when he come riding down Main Street again. And we was all kind of curious to see how he'd behave, so some of us sort of moseyed over to Charlie Johnson's place when he went inside. And we'd no more than got there before he was in a mix-up with Todd Apple.
That's so.
Britt, I tell you, if I hadn't seen it myself, I wouldn't have believed it. Wes outdrew Todd by almost a full second. Now, you got to give the devil his due. Wes Singer is a fast man with a six-shooter. And I ought to know, I've seen the best. I've seen that gun of yours in action, Brett.
Well, that was some time ago.
Oh, you're still walking around on your hind legs? That's a pretty good sign you ain't completely out of practice.
Well, what about the sheriff? Didn't he arrest young Singer after the second shooting?
Oh, sure. He arrested him. Take a look at last week's clarion. Let's see. Oh, it's right there on the counter behind you there.
Hmm? Oh. Oh, is it Wes Singer acquitted? Jury finds Todd Apple killing was self-defense, huh?
Well, I guess they had to rule it that way since both men was armed, but Sheriff Hittleman, he sure didn't like it. He told Wes the next time he come into town stirring up trouble, he wouldn't be alive for no trial afterwards.
Well, Ben Hittleman's a man of his word. Singer ought to know that.
Sheriff ain't as young as he used to be, Britt. And he slowed down some these last few years. He slowed down a lot. Well, you take last winter when he went after Jake Gordon. If Jake's gun hadn't jammed, Ben wouldn't be here now. And believe me, Jake couldn't hold a candle to young Singer. Not a candle. Doggone it, what happened to that other cave? I was sure I had two of them.
Yeah, speaking of the sheriff, yeah, I think maybe I'll wander over and see how he's getting along. His office still around the corner?
Yeah, here? Same place as always.
I'll drop back and see you later, please.
Okay, Britt. But you take it easy.
Well, Lockwood never had been what you might call a real peaceful town. They'd had their share of gunfighters and shootings, no doubt about that. But Ben Hillman, he'd managed to keep things pretty well under control, so I figured he'd find some way of handling this Wes Singer. As I turned the corner, I got a little glimpse of Ben through the side window of his office. He was putting on his hat, getting ready to go out somewhere.
George Pete was right. Ben had aged. Even more than I expected. He was carrying some extra weight and around his middle, too. Maybe that's what made him look shorter than I remembered him. His mustache had turned to kind of a brownish gray. Well, I opened the door and stepped inside. And for a minute or so, Ben didn't say anything. He just sort of stared at me, frowning. And then he sighed and took off his Stetson.
Hello, Britt.
Hi, Ben.
I heard you was in town. I'm just going to start looking for you.
Oh, well, I guess I saved you the trouble, huh?
Yeah. How long you figured on staying in Lockwood, Britt?
Oh, the rest of the day, maybe part of tomorrow. Depends on how fast Pete Drum finishes up some printing he's doing for me. What's the matter? You anxious to get rid of me?
No. If you were to run off now, that'd turn him into a holy terror for certain. Say you left because you were scared of him. You know, holding him back after that.
Well, now, just what the Sam Hill are you talking about, Ben?
You ever hear of a fellow called Wes Singer? Lives out east of town?
Yeah. Pete was just telling me about him.
Well, it seems he's spoiling for a gunfight with you.
With me?
Yes.
Why, I never laid eyes on the man in my life.
Well, he knows you, at least by reputation.
Oh, well.
He got to shooting off his mouth the other day, telling some of his pals how he could out-trigger any man in the state. One of the boys who was listening brung up your name, said he bet you could teach Wes a few things about slapping leather.
I see.
Of course, Wes had to back up his bragging. He told him if he was ever to come around Lockwood, he'd show him who was the best shot. He'd show everybody.
Oh, well, I imagine that's just so much talk.
At the time, maybe. But you're in town now. And if Wes don't do something about it, well, he ain't going to look like much. Besides, you're kind of a tempting target, Britt.
Hmm? Well, what are you talking about, Ben?
You're the six-shooter, aren't you? Any young gunfighter would put a bullet into you, well, that'd give him a real claim to fame.
Oh, well, it's crazy, Ben. He doesn't have any cause to pick a fight with me.
They're all crazy, Britt. Gunslingers like Wes. The idea of getting killed themselves, it don't even enter their heads. If it did, they wouldn't be gunslingers. Well, you better get over to the hotel.
Hmm?
The word is Singer will get to town around 4:00. I want you out of the way until I've finished with him.
Until you finish with him?
I warned him the next time he come into Lockwood on the prod, he'd have to answer to me.
Oh. You going to shoot it out with him?
If I have to.
You sure you can handle him, Ben?
Of course I can. No, Britt. No, I ain't sure. He's young. He's awful fast.
Yeah, that's what Pete said.
But I gotta try. If it turns out that I ain't still man enough, well, I always knew that sooner or later one of them would come along who was younger and faster.
Now, listen, Ben, you know, he's gunning for me, not you.
That ain't the point, Britt. I'm the one who laid down the law. Told him what I'd do if he ever tried to pull off another shooting spree.
Sure, I know.
So it's my job to stop him. Oh, you might be a better match for Wes. I don't deny that. And if he should get past me, not that he will, you understand, but if he should, well, then...
Yeah?
But I just couldn't step back and let you take him on first. Why, the folks would never pay no heed to me afterward. They'd say I'd talk big to Wes, but it was your gun he'd listen to. You see my point, don't you?
Yeah, I see your point, Ben.
We'll return to James Stewart as the Six Shooter in just a moment. Be sure you're tuned to NBC Radio Thursday evening, March 25th, for the Academy Awards. At that time, you'll hear the entire Academy Awards ceremonies direct from the Hollywood Pantages Theater, where the finest artists in the motion picture industry will be assembled. Donald O'Connor will be your host, and during the evening, some 25 Academy Award Oscars will be handed to their new owners. It's Hollywood's most thrilling night of the year, jam-packed with glamour from beginning to end. And you can hear every moment of it when you tune to NBC.
Right now, of course, the names of the Oscar winners are a highly guarded secret. A secret that any number of Hollywood actors, actresses, writers, musicians, and directors would love to know. Remember, it's a date with NBC Radio this coming Thursday evening. And that means be tuned to the station to which you're now listening for the Motion Picture Academy Award ceremonies directly from the stage of the Hollywood Pantages Theater. Now, Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
You sure couldn't blame Ben for feeling the way he did. He was the sheriff, and if Wes Singer came into Lockwood bound and determined to have another gunfight, well, Ben would just have to take a stand, that's all. But I sure didn't like the idea. A young fella I'd never even met up with was gunning for me, and somebody else was going to try to hold him off. No, that's just didn't... Not that I was anxious to get mixed up with him or anything, but I just... Well... Anyway, as long as Ben had made up his mind, there wasn't much I could do about it one way or the other, at least for the time being. So I moseyed over to the hotel. The clerk stopped me as I was passing the desk. He pointed to a woman sitting on the other end of the lobby. He said she'd been waiting for me to come in. Elderly lady, white hair, wrinkled yellow face with a blue straw bonnet tied under her chin. Ma'am,
Yes?
My name's Ponsett, ma'am. Britt Ponsett. And...
Oh. Would you mind sitting down here, Mr. Ponsett?
Sure.
It's about Wes.
Oh, yes.
Wes Singer, that is. I'm his grandma.
I see, uh-huh.
You know what he aims to do this afternoon, Mr. Ponsett.
Well, I'd heard some talk about it, yes, ma'am.
It ain't just talk. He means it. He means to kill you.
Now, don't get too upset about it, Miss Singer. There's probably won't be any trouble between me and Wes.
What do you mean?
Well, Sheriff Heddleman will be waiting for him, and if Wes starts anything, he'll more likely land in jail.
There ain't no jail could hold him anymore. And Ben Hittleman won't be able to arrest him again, neither. He'll shoot Ben without batting an eye.
Well, you see, I'm afraid I don't understand you, Miss Singer. I figured you were worried about Wes. I thought that's why you wanted to talk to me.
Worried about him? Well, I'm worried about all the men he's going to murder if somebody don't stop him. Men like Wyatt Barker and Todd Apple. Ben Hittleman, he'll be next.
Uh-huh. Well, just what is it you want from me, Mrs. Singer?
I want you to kill Wes. I want you to shoot him down like you'd shoot down a mad dog. You're the six shooter. You're the only one who'd have a chance against him.
Well, now, Sheriff Hittleman's the law in this town, Mrs. Singer. It ain't up to
me. Law? What kind of law is it that turned Wes loose after his other killings? He ain't fit to live, Mr. Ponsett. Maybe it's my fault he turned out the way he did. Maybe if his Ma and Pa had been here to raise him. But they wasn't. I'd done my best.
Of course you did, Miss Singer. Of course.
He couldn't have been born mean. The meanness wasn't in his blood. I don't know how it got into him.
Uh-huh. Well, sometimes it's pretty hard to explain a thing like that.
There's only one way he can end up. He'll be killed sooner or later. I'd even thought about doing it myself. Maybe it's my duty.
No, you shouldn't be talking like this, ma'am.
You've got to kill him, Mr. Ponsett, today, this afternoon, before anybody else's blood is on his hands.
Well, now, I understand how you feel, Miss Singer, but my trying to kill Wes wouldn't... It just... I just don't see how that'd be the answer.
Then what is the answer? I rack my brain. I ask God's help on everything I could think of. What is the answer?
Well, I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm afraid I just don't know. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon when Mrs. Singer left the hotel. I watched her get into her buggy and drive off. She sat there stiff, tall, her eyes straight ahead, not looking one way or the other. And I waited until she dwindled down to just a little speck, and then I walked outside. There was a kind of a stillness in the air, like on a hot summer day just before a thunderstorm. The town was practically deserted. Nobody was in the stores, nobody in the street. Nobody but Ben Hittleman.
Britt, I told you to keep out of sight.
Yeah, I know, Ben.
Now, you get back to the hotel before it's too late.
I'm not waiting in the hotel, Ben.
What?
Now, I made up my mind. I've decided to take a little ride this afternoon.
A ride? What are you talking about?
Well, I thought maybe I'd head over that way, toward those hills over there.
And run right into West Singer?
Well, I suppose we might meet up if he's coming in that direction.
You know darn well he's coming from that direction. I told you he lives east of town.
Now that I think of it, I guess you did, yeah. Well, I'll be seeing you.
Now you listen to me, Britt.
Now, I have listened to you, and I see your point, Ben. If there's a gunfight here in Lockwood, or if it looks like there's going to be one, well, it's up to you to do something about it.
Well, ain't that what I've been telling you?
Sure, yeah. But on the other hand, whatever happens outside of town, beyond the city limits, that is, well, I don't see that that's any of your business.
Officially, no, but...
Well...
Britt, I won't let you do it. I know what'll happen between you and Singer. If you do get the draw on him, you'll hold off. You won't kill him. But if he gets the draw on you...
So long, Ben.
Britt! Britt!
I didn't ride very far, just a couple of miles. Then I reined up near a clump of spruce. Whoa, boy. Whoa, Scar. Scar wandered around nibbling at some tufts of dried up grass. I settled down in the shade to wait. About 10 minutes later, I saw him coming toward me. Not hurrying, just plodding along, slow, easy-like. Of course, I couldn't be sure that this was young Singer, but it seemed more than likely that it was him. And when he got close enough so I could see his face, well, there wasn't much doubt about it. He was young, all right. Appeared to be younger than his years, just a kid. Not a bad-looking boy, either. But there was something about his eyes and the way they kept darting from side to side like an animal on the prowl. But when he saw me, he reined up and slid out of the saddle.
Howdy. You ride out here from Lockwood, mister?
That's right.
I hear Britt Ponsett's in town. Is that a fact?
He was in town.
Was? I might have known he'd run out on me. You got any idea which way he headed?
Yeah. I'm Britt Ponsett.
What?
That's right. There's something I can do for you. For a second, his eyes stopped moving and just stood there as if he didn't quite know what to do. But it didn't take him long to make up his mind. His right hand whipped down toward his holster so fast that it was all I could do to get hold of the shotgun before he finished his draw. And even then, it looked like he might just go ahead and squeeze the trigger, but he managed to hold himself back. We weren't more than about 8 feet apart, just staring at each other. His revolver aimed right at my face, and the shotgun I'd borrowed from Pete Drum pointing straight at his belly.
What are you trying to pull, mister?
How's that?
That shotgun. What's the matter with your six shooter?
Nothing. Nothing at all. All right, go ahead. You've been telling everybody around town you're going to kill me. All right, go ahead. You couldn't miss me. Go on, you couldn't miss me, not at this range.
Sure, but...
But I'd still be able to let go with a blast, too, you know.
Is that what you're worried about, Wes? And I guess it'd tear a pretty big hole through you.
I ain't afraid. You think I'm a coward, don't you?
I'll tell you one thing I think. You know, you never faced up to the fact that you might get killed in one of these gunfights of yours. As long as you got off the first shot, you figured the worst the other fella could do was just to nick you, if he was lucky. All right. Now, you can get off the first shot now. But if you do, I don't need to be able to aim this shotgun. I just couldn't help hitting you.
You're loco, Ponson. We'd both be dead.
Yeah. Well?
You can't expect a man to commit suicide.
All right, I'm waiting, Singer.
You know there's no way to... You know I don't dare...
That's right.
But what do you expect me to do?
I expect you to put your gun away and get out of here. And you'd better not come into Lockwood again looking for trouble, because this isn't the only shotgun in town. Well, after a minute or so, he turned and he climbed on his horse. And I don't know for sure what happened to him after that. I heard that he moved on farther west and finally got into a gunfight with somebody who outdrew him. I guess it was bound to happen, of course. I just don't understand what gets into a fellow like him.
During this month before Easter, crippled children are making their annual appeal to you. They are appealing to you to continue to support the medical, therapeutic, educational, recreational, and vocational services which are indispensable to them.
Lockwood. And that was The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart. The original air date of that was the 21st of March, 1954. That was pretty interesting. Pretty interesting conclusion there. That's why I play the gun safety PSA with Digital George and Digital Henry. You've been listening to Arthur Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM, WMFO, and or WMFO.org. Thanks for listening. Marcus should be up next. I haven't seen anything indicating that he's not going to be in. So we'll play out here along the picket fence by the Marysville High School Band. Thanks for listening. So long.